change.
We are all in this together. Coming up in this hour, we're celebrating grandmothers. It's Strong Women on KEXE KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. That's Irma Franklin. She is Aretha Franklin's sister with her version of Peace of My Heart. Janis Joplin recorded that song after she heard this soaring version of Irma Franklin. It's Strong Women on KEXE KBXE. We are honoring grandmothers in this hour. Last April, we had a plan to have a Strong Women storytelling event. We invited a number of women to join us in celebrating their grandmothers. All we gave them was a time limit, and we wanted them to start their story with, "There was a woman named..." and then tell us about your grandmother. And we wanted to know how grandmothers shaped you, in good ways, in bad ways. We've got a few of those ready for you today during this hour, some of those essays from Northern Minnesota women thinking and writing about their grandmothers. And we will be doing this event. We are positive it can happen in some way after July 1st, maybe in the fall, maybe in the winter, we don't know, but we will continue to honor strong women and grandmothers on KEXE KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. Our facilitator and producer for this show is also Laura Connolly. She will be bringing us a story of her grandmother coming up later. That's a great Buffy St. Marie with her song called Sing Our Own Song. That's what we're doing on this hour-long tribute to grandmothers, our Strong Women Project at KEXE KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton. Our first essay comes from Snowy White. Snowy is a teenager. She's either 14 or 15 now. We've talked to her before on KEXE KBXE. She was in with her mom and her grandma. She is a fashion model for I Am Anishinaabe. That's Delina White's line of Ojibwe fashion that has just taken the fashion world by storm. We asked Snowy to tell us about her grandmother, Delina. And then we also asked Delina to tell us about her grandmother. But here, first, is Snowy White.
There was a woman named Delina White. She is my grandma. My grandma is an apparel designer and beadwork artist. I've been modeling for her for around 5 years. I'm going to be turning 15 in a couple of weeks. I have participated in multiple fashion shows, including Indigenous Fashion Week Toronto, the Santa Fe Indian Market Haute Couture Fashion Show, and the Heard Museum in Phoenix, Arizona, just to name a few. In 2018, I modeled at Indigenous Fashion Week Toronto. The ride there was 16 hours long. We stopped at this small restaurant. I remember I told my grandparents I did not have good service, and they just laughed at me. That hurt my feelings. The day of the fashion show was really fun. I really liked my makeup, which was an ombre starting with yellow, then peach, and red from my temples to my cheekbones, and a pink lip to add to the theme of autumn bronze. The skirt I wore portrayed missing and murdered Indigenous women. This was my favorite skirt I've ever worn because no one talks about the Indigenous women who go missing and get murdered. I am sad to think about the reality of being a Native woman in this society. This society has continued to show us that we do not deserve safety, security, and protection. It's scary that people treat Natives like objects and we could get stolen at any moment. I'm really proud of my grandma for incorporating such an important topic into her designs because she is raising awareness. If more people knew about missing and murdered Indigenous women, then maybe we could fight this crisis. My next story is about a memorable photo shoot at the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis. My grandma collaborated with Gudrun Shedin, who is a designer from Sweden, to create two dresses and a purse. The photo shoot was very challenging for me as I was the only model and it was negative 40 degrees. Every couple of shots, I would have to go back inside because I didn't want my face to be red in the pictures, but I got cold really fast. The next part of the photo shoot, I wore my jingle dress and danced for more pictures in the catalog. While I was doing the sidestep for the pictures, the creative director told my mom and my grandma to join me dancing. That was so special to me because I felt connected to them. I really enjoyed the quality time we spent together and being in the moment with my family. My last story is about my favorite experience, which was last year in Santa Fe. Seven of us piled into a van and drove 18 hours to New Mexico. We arrived early in the morning and spent all day getting ready. By 4 p.m., it was time to get back in the van and drive an hour to get to the fashion show. We were hungry, tired, and running behind schedule. Everyone wanted food, so my grandma brought us on a wild goose chase to get some. The only restaurant around us was McDonald's. We got our food, but then we ended up on a residential road where the speed limit was really slow. There were speed bumps everywhere. My grandma thought it was time to pull out her NASCAR skills. She sped over those bumps so fast, everyone's flies were flying through the air, and my tea spilled all over the three of us sitting in the back seat. My grandma made that van fly. This was the beginning to a great weekend. I met many inspiring Native designers, like Jamie Okuma, who is one of my favorite designers. We took lots of pictures. The Haute Couture fashion show was on Sunday. It was my favorite fashion show I've been in. I am so grateful for the many opportunities that my grandma has given me. She has taught me to hold my head high and keep my shoulders back. Although we had a bumpy road in the beginning, I would do it all over again. My grandma is my biggest fan. She has taught me a lot about Indigenous fashion and how every job is important. My grandma is a firm believer that dreams can come true. I can achieve my goals as long as I work hard and do my best. I love my grandma and thank you for everything. I am on your
side. Music from Nako and Medicine for the People, the song called Give a Little, Get a Little. This is our hour-long tribute. We're honoring grandmothers in this hour. It's a mix of music and essays by women from northern Minnesota, telling us about the influence of their grandmothers on their lives. I'm Heidi Holton. We just heard Snowy White talking about her grandmother, Delina White. Now Delina tells us about her grandmother.
There was a woman named Maggie King, the wife of John King from Onigum, one of 14 villages located on the Leech Lake Indian Reservation in northern Minnesota. Her friends called her Shib, a nickname from the Anishinaabe word for duck. I think it was probably her given Indian name. We all have one of those. I knew her as Grandma. My grandma loved me with all her heart and I her. We didn't have running water or electricity back then, and it wasn't until the 1970s that the reservation finally got electricity. Indoor plumbing didn't come until way later, until new HUD houses were finally built with wells and septic systems. We lived in a two-room tar paper shack, a front room and a back room that was separated by a curtain in the doorway. The front room is where we would have visitors and consisted of a formica kitchen table with three chairs, just enough for my grandma, my baba, which is a shortened version of the Anishinaabe word babanan, which is what we called our grandpas, even though it is not the formal word for grandfather, which is Neshomis. Baba is a root word for travel, whereas you can find that root word in many words that are related to travel, such as the word for tent, like packing it up and taking it with you when you travel. So I assume that babas would walk around or travel. Anyway, there were just enough chairs for my grandma, my baba, and me. There was also a small sofa, a cupboard, and a stove. I have my grandma's cupboard with me in my home now, in her chipped white enamel sugar bowl, which I cherish. It was quiet in our home. Sometimes my baba would turn on his transistor radio, and I remember hearing songs by Glen Campbell, John Denver, and Badfinger. I am an only child and was the only grandchild until I became an adult, so I've never minded spending quiet time alone. I would sit for hours looking at the birthday cards and Christmas cards my grandma saved and imagined I was inside those scenes, riding in a one-horse open sleigh on a cold winter's evening over the gentle, glittery, snowy slopes, dressed in 1800s-style white man clothes. My grandmother had a small wooden box that permeated a wonderful aroma of cedar as I opened it to reveal a white leather Bible. Inside was my first introduction to religious Renaissance paintings that captured my fascination of the idea of heaven and hell. My grandma kept a small coffee tin at the top of her cupboard that I asked to look into one day. She said, which I think was an affirmative because she never objected when I proceeded to take action. In it were hundreds of mixed beads and sequins of different sizes, shapes, and colors. Oh my, I had hit the jackpot. My grandma was a master beadwork artist, although she would never call herself that. We would sit at her kitchen table that overlooked Agency Bay and do beadwork together. Her beadwork was magnificent, in the woodland floral style on velvet. She would sell her bags for $5 to the white women who lived in town. I would simply string the beads and sequins onto thread in different color patterns. I remember one summer looking at the lake and thinking how beautiful and shimmery the sun reflected from it, and I told my grandma, "The lake is as pretty as a beaded dress." My grandma became blind in one eye and could hardly see out of the other, but she could always see beadwork. My best compliment ever came from my grandma one day when I showed her some of the beadwork I was making, and she said, "You beat me," meaning my beadwork was better than hers. I was so proud, but I knew that was her way of encouraging me to keep beading. That is why beadwork has such a strong connection to my grandma and my life as a little girl living with her.
That is Delina White telling us about her grandmother. This is Strong Women Honoring Grandmothers, a storytelling event for the radio. We had planned an actual live event in April, but the world has changed. But we are still honoring and supporting women in all that they do in hopes of mending the way that women are valued and honored in our society. We believe at KAXE KBXE that storytelling throughout time has been used as a tool to catalyze change. We have an intention of changing the way women are seen, heard, valued, and honored in our society for the better. We know an important piece of this is honoring the women who came before us. That's what we're hearing in this hour. Coming up, we'll hear from Tasha Connolly. She is telling us about her grandmother and how she influenced her. We'll also hear stories from me. I'm Heidi Holton, about my grandma, Ina, and Laura Connolly will also be telling us about her grandmother. We'll be planning an event for later when we are all able to get together. And we would love to hear your stories today honoring your grandmothers. Email comments at kaxe.org. You're listening to an hour-long tribute to grandmothers on KAXE. We'd love to hear about your grandmother. You can send us an email, comments at kaxe.org. Grandmothers have a way of shaping us and spending time with us in a different way that our parents didn't. And they really had a big impact on our lives. Up next, our storyteller about her grandmother is Tasha Connolly.
There is a woman named Joanne. I spoke to my grandma a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about how the pandemic was affecting our lives. My grandma told me she is trying to have the attitude of gratitude, reporting that many people are in much worse situations than her and my papa are in. She then went on to report that she was busy making masks, having made about 100 already, that she was baking my papa's favorite cookies, and was going to call at least 2 people that day from church to make sure they were doing all right. And as our conversations often do, she started reflecting and sharing of simpler times and how happy of a childhood and upbringing she had growing up in Max, Minnesota. We often talk about death and dying in our conversations, and this conversation was no exception. She shared with me how she daily thinks about her own grandfather and her father and her mother, and shared all the wonderful memories that she has experienced growing up. She told me that she has lived and continues to live a wonderful life. My grandma never misses an opportunity to share her blessings and to make sure that we are always counting ours. My paternal grandmother, outside of my own mother, is the single largest influencer of my life. As a young girl, I admired all the acts of love she carried out for people. My grandparents' home was a sanctuary to me, overlooking Bass Lake, tucked into nature and free of monotony. She continues to be humble and selfless, not ever wanting to draw attention to herself. Above all, she always gives thanks and glory to God for the abundances in her life, and I'd be remiss to not mention that. She has always lived a life of service to others and has so generously given back much in which she has received. So keeping in her church tradition of showing gratitude, I reflected on the experiences with my grandma that I'm so thankful for, many of which she was the chief teacher of. Thank you, Grandma, for introducing me to your love of Cutfoot Sioux Lake, the Cutfoot Experimental Forest, Sunken Lake, and the Avenue of the Pines. We spent many, many summers hiking and camping in an area that I know was so dear to you. Thank you for sharing your love and family history of Max and Squaw Lake, and for taking us on picnics and hikes and fishing at Pekegama Dam. Thank you for all the drives to Gooseberry Falls and Duluth, or just all the drives in general. We spent a lot of time in the car just listening to tapes and looking at scenery. Thank you for taking us to Vacation Bible School at Our Redeemer or Cohasset School, where we would walk or ride our bike from your house to those places. So many memories made with friends of crafts and fellowship. Thank you for having the patience and showing me how to crochet and cross stitch and quilt and all things related to crafting. Thank you for introducing me to how to make things with my hands. I wish I would have retained all the things you have taught me, but the memories are still there. Thank you for introducing me to classical music and classical pieces. I still seek and listen to those pieces of music when I'm wanting to calm or just want to have some peace. It's remarkable how they bring me right back to your backyard where we would play. Thank you for teaching me how to cook from scratch and teaching me about gardening and about vegetables and perennials, how to can food, what a food storage pantry looks like that's fully prepped and ready to go. You always were available and ready to make a meal to feed 100. Thank you for introducing me to Little Women and Little House on the Prairie and encyclopedias and all things related to trivia and information seeking. I remember looking through National Geographic with you and just learning about the world. Thank you for orchestrating times together with the cousins and for making us feel so special as individuals, but also as a group. Those are treasured memories. And thank you for all the birthday cards and the letters from the littlest of milestones to the largest. I have them all. I've saved them all. I go back to them often. I love looking at your handwriting and hearing what was important to you, what the weather was like, what the birds were doing. It's a piece of history that I'm going to hang on to, and hopefully I can share with my children one day. Grandma, I'm so grateful that we have each other. I don't want to imagine my life without you, but when I do have to do that, these are the things that I know will bring me a smile and will just solidify even deeper how grateful I am for you.
Welcome to the Strong Women Honoring Grandmothers Storytelling Hour. It was to be a live event at an area brewery in April, but plans change. So we're bringing you a few of the women who are going to be a part of it. We'll hope to reschedule this next fall, next winter, something like that, and bring you even more stories of grandmothers and how they influenced your life. You are welcome to send us your stories. You can email comments at kaxe.org. Laura Conley is the facilitator of the Strong Women Project at KEXE, KBXE. She convinced me that both of us should write about our grandmothers as well. Here's Laura Conley.
There once was a woman named Ludmilla Cecilia Agnes Mozan Kopeski, also known as Lydia. She was my grandma. She was my mom's mom. She was my person. She was born in 1916 to strict Catholic parents and had one sister, Ethel, who my grandma said her parents favored. She met my grandpa William when she was 17 while working a job picking raspberries. They got married in February 1939 and had their first child of five, my Aunt Bev, in July 1939. Married in mid-February, baby in July. She used to say, "You do the math. I guess I would have been considered a naughty girl." So naughty, apparently, that her dad refused to come to the wedding, which of course meant he wasn't going to walk her down the aisle. So she asked one of her cousins if he would stand for her dad, and he agreed. Well, the cousin showed up, too intoxicated, to walk her down the aisle, so as my grandma would say, I just had to walk myself down it. She and my grandpa were married for 40 years when he died from a heart attack, and she lived out the next 30 years, never remarrying, not even dating, happy and content. My grandma shaped every part of who I am, the way I think, the way I act, the way I know deep in myself what is right and wrong, and the way I love. To me, she represented everything that was good and right in the world. She was wise, non-judgmental, curious, peaceful, fun, loving, and pure, genuine truth. She gave the best hugs. She was a safe, dependable, solid force in all of life's uncertainties. She taught me how to be strong, how to look at all of life's challenges from every angle, and in the end, to let my intuition have the final word. She taught me to pay attention to all the voices in my head, to question those voices, who they belong to, and to listen to my own, the one that is unscathed by all the heartache of the world above all others. She taught me to work hard and leave things more beautiful than I found them whenever possible. She taught me a love of gardening, the soulful meditation of digging around in the dirt all day and watching things grow. She taught me to laugh as much as possible, especially when times were hard, because sometimes that's all you can do. She taught me what it meant to be real and authentic. I miss so much about her, her laugh, her mind, her heart, and her hands. She had the best hands. When I was little, I used to love to just sit next to her and she would hold my hand. I used to love to watch her hands as she kneaded dough, picked raspberries, put puzzles together, cooked yummy food, and crocheted. One of my greatest heartaches is not making it in time to hold her hand as she was dying, the way she always held mine. She was 92 when she passed, surrounded by kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. She always said she had a very good, full life. I'm so thankful for her and her being a part of my life. She was beautiful. She was my Grandma Lydia.
Little darling, it's been...
Thanks for tuning in to this Honor and Grandmother Storytelling Hour on KEXE KBXE. We can't thank you enough for listening to this station, telling other people about it, staying connected to us. During this pandemic, we all need the stories, we need the music to keep us going. I'm Heidi Holton. Coming up next, a story about my grandmother. There once was a woman named Ina Marie Nordberg Lagesson, my mother's mother. Ina was born October 12, 1914, in Jacobson, Minnesota, and she lived until she was 97. She was the youngest daughter of Finnish immigrants John and Alina Pierni Nordberg. She moved to Minneapolis when she was 17 to be a nanny, where she met Lester Lagesson at a dance hall, otherwise known as Grampy. They had their first date at the Silver Dime, where a fortune teller told them they would get married. They were married for two-thirds of a century. I was the youngest grandchild in the family until my 20s, and Ina dragged me everywhere to nursing homes to store openings for freebies, to the spa to work out, to the bank for freebies, to the walking trails by her house in Robbinsdale, to test groups for new food products, to the bowling alley, to movies and restaurants, and the Minnesota State Fair. Ina never seemed old, even when she wore her wig and pink seersucker pantsuit. In her 80s, as her eyesight wasn't so good, she still kept at it. I'd call and she'd say, "Today I picked up some cotton tops." That's what she called people younger than herself who didn't dye their hair. "And I drove them to Bridge at the senior center. I made some money today, a whole dollar." She was a fierce competitor. Golf, bowling, croquet, kings in the corner, bridge, cribbage, gin rummy. When I introduced her to my husband-to-be, she sized him up. "Hmm," she said. "You need a game. Every couple needs a game. Let's teach him canasta." Even now, as Tom and I play canasta, I find myself trash-talking him the way Ina did to me in our weekend tournaments over coffee and her slightly burnt homemade cookies. "Why do you hate me?" she'd say when I froze the pile. "Never heard of that card before," when I didn't play something she liked. When I was really young, she told me that women needed mad money to do what they want without having to ask your husband. "Stash a little away every month, just in case you need to fly to Mexico for a quickie divorce," she'd whisper. Sometimes you need options. She worked hard at all her jobs, raising her kids and grandkids, working at the local drugstore, ice cream counter, the license bureau, and my favorite job of all of hers, saleswoman extraordinaire. She sold Whirlpool baths and water purifiers out of her trunk and at a booth at the Minnesota State Fair under the grandstands. Every year we'd go with her and see her not only make connections for sales, but make lifelong friends. She swore by both her vaguely sketchy products. One, a cushion pad with air holes connected to a big electric box next to your bathtub, and a tubed vessel hooked to the kitchen sink to purify the water. Throughout the year, she'd call up the people she met at the fair, stand over her kitchen sink with her long, curly-corded phone, watching the birds and setting up times to go visit with her products and make her mad money. I remember going with her on a trip to Alexandria. We had lunch with an older couple, and Ina set up their new bathtub modification. She remained friends with them the rest of their lives. I think I miss our phone conversations the most. We'd talk about silly things, like what was that movie we went to that one Thanksgiving weekend? "Just the girls," she'd say, but neither of us could remember. "I'll call you in the middle of the night when I remember," she would say. Sure enough, the phone would ring about 11:30. "Dancing dirty, good night." Thanks, Ina. I wouldn't be me without you.
Trouble ahead, but while there's music and moonlight and love and romance, let's face the music and dance before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance.